the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste. Come, let us worship the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name above all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes.
To still the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers,
the moon and the stars which you have set in place,
what is man that you are mindful of him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings.
And crowned him with glory and honor.
You have given him dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen.
And also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea.
Whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O Lord, our Lord,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
The Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, And as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply. Increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle comes from Philippians chapter 1. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as a wife. And Jesus said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed, in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well. for they no longer dared to ask him anything. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Children may come forward for the children's choir. Continue with the hymn of the day.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to us from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven loves us. He created us, and before he framed us in our mother's womb, he knew us. For a few generations now, we've been inundated with the debate over abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and other attacks on the dignity of life. Christians face mockery and derision from the world for stating the very obvious truths of Scripture. For every Christian who says what the Bible says, there's someone who identifies as a Christian who is put on TV to pretend they don't know the truth. We see this debate play out over and over again in our daily lives. But we know the truth, that God made mankind in his own image. Mankind is his creation, and he alone holds authority over life and death. God commands the defense of life and punishment for those who violate it. In Genesis 9, God tells Noah, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed." God establishes justice in this sinful world and charges his people to carry it out. But God doesn't stop there, because right after this, he also commands the 8 people who stepped off the ark, be fruitful and multiply. Increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Not only does God command that life be defended, he also commands that life be promoted. Sometimes we get so caught up in the debate with people who don't believe in life after death that we forget to emphasize that we also believe in life after birth. Now, I'm not making the silly argument that is often thrown at Christians that we are simply pro-birth and not really pro-life. Rather, I am saying that we sometimes stumble and fall into the thinking that God is simply the cosmic clockmaker, and that life in a sinful world is really just a horrible waiting room before we are brought into heaven. We know that God created life and continues to sustain it. God works in his creation this day and every day, and he will continue to sustain his creation forever. But when we see the evil of the world, when we suffer setbacks and hard times, when we mourn the death of family and friends, it is easy to forget that God made each of us with a purpose. The blessing Noah receives at the end of our reading in Genesis is attached with a promise. Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you. God promises that he will work to sustain his people and bless them with offspring, that he will not let his people perish from the earth. God provides them with food and protects them. Life is a gift, and God continues to pour out this gift on the earth until Christ comes again in glory on the last day. He blesses parents with children and children with parents. He blesses grandparents with grandchildren so that they get to see the results of their fruitful labor extended for generation after generation. It is this fruitful labor that Paul talks about in our epistle reading this morning. Paul writes, "With full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me." This gift of life we receive is one oriented toward Christ. Our sins earn us death, but Jesus took on our sins at the cross and paid the price of death that we might receive life. When you are baptized into this death of Christ and reborn into his life. While we live a life oriented toward Christ, we know that our eventual death is a gift for us because it means eternal life with Christ Jesus. But while we are here, enjoying this gift of life God has given us, God blesses us with children to bring up in the faith. In this, we honor God with our bodies. God gives this beautiful gift of children and sustains them through faithful parents. This fruitful labor is in itself a gift. It doesn't come without trials. I have yet to be blessed with children of my own, but I am well aware how difficult I was to raise at times. But this is one of those most beautiful gifts God gives us in this life. And like all blessings, we receive it freely from God on account of Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. This fruitful labor is not limited to raising children, but applies in extension to everything that we do in this life. Not everyone is blessed with children. Paul himself was never blessed with children, and yet he recognized the purpose of this gift of life in his circumstances. Paul writes, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again." Paul recognizes that there is work God has given us to do on earth. While we look forward to eternal life in heaven with Christ, we live a life oriented toward that by serving our neighbor. Each of us does this in our own way, in our own vocation. Paul's vocation was that of a missionary and a preacher, and he served God faithfully in that. But not all are given to be preachers. Some are teachers, some are doctors or farmers or lawyers or any one of a number of other vocations. Each of us, through our vocation, serves God and bears witness to his love through our work. In this, Christ is also honored in our bodies. The parent raises faithful children and builds a family. The preacher delivers the word and sacrament for families. The teacher provides education for the children of families. The doctor cares for families, and the farmer feeds families. All of this serves the same end, to defend and promote the sanctity of God's gift of life. When we speak against demonic practices like abortion and euthanasia, it is because these dreadful acts are the antithesis of our calling to serve God. They are the antithesis of God's gift of life. Rather than caring for those who have been blessed with life, they attempt to usurp God's authority over life and destroy the gift God has given to all people. Rather than simply opposing these things, we celebrate their opposites. We celebrate marriage and childbearing. We celebrate and honor the gray hairs of our elders because God continues to bless them with life. And as we have discussed, this life has an orientation. Without the satisfaction Christ made for our sins at the cross, all of the work we do in this life is in vain. Praise be to God that he sent his one and only Son into the world to live the perfect life and take on death that he might win us life. This new life we have received through Christ has a delivery date. We look forward to that fulfillment when Christ comes again. We no longer have to fear death because Christ paid our guilt price and defeated death on our behalf. You are not dead, but alive. And life in Christ is all you need to look forward to. Our gospel reading gives us this assurance. Jesus says in Luke 20, "But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Looking forward to life with Christ is not looking forward to death. It means that we no longer have to fear death. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. We have received this new life in our baptism. And this new life is sustained. And we receive the forgiveness of our sins in the body and blood of Christ when we come together in Holy Communion. Our lives here on earth are entirely oriented toward God. This is what it means when Christ says, "For all live to him." God gives the foundational blessing of life and continues to work in this world to sustain it and multiply it through all people. God has promised to sustain life forever, and he continually fulfills that promise. We rejoice in our lives, and God works through his people to multiply this gift throughout the world. We bear witness to the world by proclaiming Christ in our vocations, in the work that we do. Our neighbors receive this witness, and God works in the hearts of unbelievers through the fruitful labor of his people. And this new life will be realized in heaven when all of God's children gather around the throne and sing praises to him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So this Sunday, we give thanks to God for the gift of life. We praise God for giving his one and only Son as the guilt offering for our sins. We are encouraged to bear witness to this gift through the work God has given us to do here on earth. And we receive assurance of our eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
And at this time, I'm going to invite forward those who have been elected to be officers at this last voters' assembly last week. Would Brent Baker, Mike Schum, Tim Schlemmer, Robert Rehm, Tina Heikamp, Shelley Spangler, Maurice Schum, Amanda Rehm, Tony Etzler, Tanner Matthews, Robert Hartman, Benjamin Schlemmer, and Holly Becker present themselves before the altar. Dear brothers and sisters, you have been elected in a regular meeting of this congregation as church officers. As such, you are to be associated with me, the called minister of the word, in the work of upbuilding the kingdom of God among us. You are to see that the services of God's house be held regularly and conducted decently and in order, that the gospel be preached in its purity in accordance with the sound Lutheran faith, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young, and that Christian discipline be maintained. You are to administer the temporal affairs of the congregation, keep its property in good repair, and provide for the pastor's support and for all other necessary expenses. You are to assist the pastor in the care of the sick and the needy, in the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members, in the promotion of the general welfare of the congregation, and in the furtherance of Christ's kingdom at home and abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and officers of his church, to set your own households and the whole congregation the example of a devout Christian life, in order that then that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve. I ask you, in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability which God giveth? If so, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I herewithin commit to you the exercise of this office to which you have been elected. I charge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the church of which he is the head, that you give all diligence to perform your manifold duties with untiring faithfulness and constant solicitude, as you will desire to have done when you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Make the word of God your guide, and search it daily for instruction. And to the end that your ministrations may serve for the glory of God, the best interests of this congregation, and your own great joy, may God, without whom we can do nothing, plentifully endow you with the grace and his blessed abundance of all faithfulness in your labors. Let us pray. O most merciful and gracious God, who art an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows, we beseech thee, for the sake of Christ's name, send down thy Holy Spirit upon these thy servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need they may by prayer and supplication, and in this house lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves patterns of good works, that by their lives they may edify thy congregation, and that the enemies of thy church may find no ground for complaint. Set them for a blessing to thy believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with their pastor, and grant that also by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that thy name be hallowed, thy kingdom enlarged, and thy will done, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Depart in peace to your faithful service. You may rise for the Te Deum.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have fearfully and wonderfully made us, created, redeemed, and called every member of our race from fertilization to everlasting life, no matter what age, appearance, or ability. Lend us your Holy Spirit that our lips may sound forth with courage and our lives may show it forth in compassion. Lord, in your mercy, you have searched us and see every grievous way in us. Forgive us for any hesitance in assisting our neighbor endangered by sinful measures such as abortion and assisted suicide. Grant the vulnerable ones protection and rescue. Grant our land reprieve from these evils, and grant repentance to all who permit and promote them. Lord, in your mercy. Your all-encompassing presence and power hems us in behind and before. Work wisdom, commitment, and integrity in our officials and elected representatives, that they may exercise your authority to restrain vice and reward virtue. Secure for us safe, free, and a just nation, wherein we implement the sanctity of human life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, give our leaders wisdom so that we might enjoy the fruits of security here and abroad. Defend those who defend us from local dangers, such as our law enforcement officers, and also those who defend us from threats abroad in our armed forces, such as Sean. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father in heaven, even the darkness as is light to you, let your relief and healing rest upon those among our number with injuries, illness, and any other need or ailment of body or soul, especially Pauline, Kelly, Jason, Jared and Brenna, Angie, Jordan, and Aubrey. Draw near in consolation to those of us who are experiencing the consequences of death, such as the family of Carla Sheets, that they may find hope and joy in your kingdom. For Jesus' sake, take away the guilt and shame of hearts broken by abortion or of our children. Lord, in your mercy, lead us, O Lord and Savior, in the way everlasting. Unite us in your Son as brothers and sisters, sharing faith and fellowship unto abundant and eternal life, through the same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost,
be with you all.
Well, let's start off our announcements this morning with thanks. Thanks particularly to all those who have been willing to serve the congregation this year in the various congregational offices. We give them thanks for the work that they'll do for us, all the necessary business to keep the ministry of the gospel going, all that background behind the scenes work, and we pray that God would grant them faithfulness in their service to the church this upcoming year and the years in the future. We also want to give thanks to Jacob for preaching for us this morning for Life Sunday. What a glorious sermon it was. Life as a glorious gift. Life as a glorious weight that is given to us by God so that we are called to live according to those callings that God has given us. And because of that we oppose all the forces of death, despising it and hating it. Right? Despising it in that we resist those forces that wish to bring death upon us, and hating it in that biblical sense where we care nothing for it in the end because we have the victory over death in our Savior Jesus Christ. So thank you very much, Jacob. Do not forget, we have a potluck after the service for Life Sunday. So when you greet me at the end, you can either skip me and just go out this way, or circle back around through the cold and into the warm, where we have a potluck prepared for fellowship over in the parish hall. As it is Life Sunday, some suggestions in the bulletin for organizations in the area that you can support with your donations or volunteering for them as well, that in very practical ways help those in our communities around us in Decatur and in Van Wert who may be struggling with a surprise pregnancy or poverty associated with that, and providing resources and medical care for those mothers and women. Also, take note that there is several events going on at the seminary this week that are free. So if you have an evening off and you want to go visit the seminary chapel, there's several events available to us. Finally, I want to announce that I have received a call to a Tri Point parish in Nebraska. I will not be accepting it, and I will be returning the call tomorrow, but just so you guys are all aware, it's a public process, and so it must be announced. Keep the congregations of Salem, St. Paul's, and St. Paul's in Gurley, Potter, and Sydney, Nebraska, in your prayers as they search out for a new pastor. It is tough, and we want to call more servants to the harvest. A reminder to all the young men in the congregation, if the pastoral ministry is something that you have considered, about 10% of our congregations are vacant these days, so we need pastors. The Lord needs ministers for his church, so consider the possibility of seminary if the Holy Spirit is leading you in that direction. And then finally, last, if you were voted in as a voting member last week, you may join me briefly in the sacristy to sign the book to make that official. Okay, any announcements that I've missed? Have a glorious Life Sunday. Join us for the potluck. Depart in peace.